sunshine, the chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon, the high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome in the Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to get in on the show with us this morning, the app, the Tide 100.9 app, download the app to your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. And you got Coach's show on there tomorrow. So people are looking for him to say something to make them feel better. I personally don't think the press conferences did that yesterday, Dad and Chase. Be quite honest with you. We'll talk a little bit about those. Maybe listen to a little bit of that. If you want to email us, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com and download the app, as we said. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, you want to build that five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is the only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. Did you survive yesterday, Chase? Did anybody jump off a cliff during the show?
Maybe one person.
I'm just kidding.
Everybody was pretty content.
Pretty content. All right. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. North Carolina last night had a tough time. I'm not going to go and bust them. Everybody gets busted sometimes the first game. They had 70 transfers. Got off to a great start, 7-0 lead. And just folded after that. And TCU played very well. TCU's well coached. You don't talk about them much. You don't hear about them much. But they do a very, very good job. They get good players. They get players that want to play hard. And they did that last night. So a good win for them. I don't know how to say this to you, Barry. Ryan Williams didn't have a great day. Didn't get open, so it didn't throw the ball to him much. I didn't think he played real well. I looked to try to figure out the concussion, and he didn't live very far from me. And I couldn't see the concussion.
Looked like he dropped the ball. Or he hit his head maybe on the turf.
Okay, I saw a concussion, but I thought it was a situation where I just prior to that he didn't get himself open. I don't know. This week. It's not a great week for football. If I were coaching football, I would have a team I could beat first, and then somebody that I was going to be played tough second. A lot of these coaches do not do this. When you look at the schedule, you've got Kentucky, Ole Miss, you've got Arizona State, Mississippi State, you've got Oklahoma and Michigan, you've got Kansas and Missouri, and you've got Vandy and Virginia Tech. You've got five games that are the best games of the week. The rest of them are wins, basically. You have a couple of intriguing games, I think. Maybe a little bit intriguing for me would be South Florida at Florida. South Florida's, you know, not bad. Florida's not sure. And I don't know what's going to happen with this UAB-Navy game. We don't talk about UAB much.
Oh, you know what's going to happen.
What is going to happen?
UAB is going to get mauled in this game.
Well, I wanted to say that because I'm not blue play. So, but I was thinking about it. So anyway, those games there are the games we talk about. And I will say this about coaching, and then I'll give it to Barry. What you try to do is I try to do as a basketball coach and football coaches do, is to get your team ready to play mentally before the game. Your next step is, if they are not playing the way you want them you pretty much get after them pretty much at the halftime. You get after them in the right way. You use your brain to say, you talk with your assistant coaches, you go through, and you fuss at them, or you get after them there. Then the third part of it, you don't say a lot. You work them because they didn't play hard, didn't play well, and didn't play hard. You work them hard, but that's all talk. You talk before, you talk at half. After the game, you talk whatever you have to talk to the media, you talk to the media. But you don't talk to them. You let them see that what they did was not satisfactory for you, for your team and for your coaches. That's the way I coached, not that I know anything, but that's the way I think you have to do it, before halftime and after it. And after part is work, not so much of we're going to take you out and do this. They gonna figure that. What they gonna figure that out? Pretty much. We got a good show today. Kevin's on, but does a good job. And we're gonna have, as Barry said, mentioning the thoughts by the offensive and defensive coordinators, and I guess the head coach will be on whatever. So that's where I don't think it's a great week of football, but it is football. That's it, Barry.
Yeah, I think what you said obviously is all true. You get after a halftime, but the film, when you sit down and watch and the kids watch the film, sometimes they're taken back when they look at it, and they'll say, good gosh, I didn't have any idea I missed the assignment that bad, or that I wasn't playing hard. The film, as the coaches always say, the film does not lie. So I would hope they had a pretty heated film session Sunday over there, because the film doesn't lie. And sometimes you got to show it to them, and maybe you give them one more chance. It didn't sound like Kane Womack was going to put anybody on the bench yet. And so, whatever. But if it continues, then the effort part continues, then you got to go to the bench, right? And we'll give you one chance. But we can't coach effort during the game, I would say.
No. I agree, and we get to our situation where we ain't worried about no transfer portal. We got the guys that we've got to play. We got to play them. Transfer portal, and the guys got 88 and out the gate. You use your head. You don't go crazy, but you try to do everything you possibly can against a lesser opponent to do a better job of correcting what you did in the last game. That's the reason I say. And nobody agrees with me. Everybody goes the other way. You play somebody you can beat the first game, and that's just me. A lot of people don't like that idea at all. And then somebody a little bit tougher the second game. But basically, as we look at the schedule, we got one interconference game with the Ole Miss at Kentucky game, which is hard to pick, hard to look at. So anyway, it's going. These coaches and the assistant coaches. Folks, have a responsibility with their group after a staff meeting. That's what Coach Bryant did. After an offensive staff meeting, after a defensive staff meeting, after a staff meeting with everybody there, including your general manager, who is the person who goes and decides on what you give a kid, or goes to the head coach and tells him, passes up the head coach and goes to the athletic director, the head coach is busy about the money, and that's a critical. We've heard that. Did worse on the players that they got mistakes. Was North Carolina got some guys that were mistakes. TCU was ready to play. Florida State was ready to play a little bit more so than their opponents. Why was that? What was the reason for that? And you try to figure it out.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline. Morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, Barry, I'm with you on the press conferences. I just don't know what they accomplished really. I mean, I know they're trying to be transparent and give everybody an update and all that. But the first person I think about, in days like that is Ken Donahue. Can you imagine somebody like Ken Donahue, what he would have thought after that effort the other day?
Ken, I around Ken a great deal, more than anybody called on this show. And Ken Donahue would get after him in the right way. Coach Bryant, on one occasion, went to Ken Donahue and said, that's don't work him this hard at the end of practice. He was a very good football coach, looked at film all the time, never stopped looking at it. But what I have said to you about coaching and what's happening there is very, very true, Philip.
Philip, I've always said this about football. Now, basketball is a little bit, I mean, you play 30 games. If you get the tournament, you're going to play 35 games. Football, these guys get 12 chances to play that you're guaranteed. 12 out of all the training and all the stuff that I hear that these guys do, how much film session and over there early in the morning, you get 12 times and you take the very first time you get to play and you play like that effort-wise, that's embarrassing to me.
Yeah, especially what you got coming down the gate. And Alabama got two games at home coming up that I feel like Alabama should win. I feel like they should win. I felt like they were going to win Saturday. But I made a long drive back yesterday morning, and that didn't happen. You know, that didn't happen. But I tell you, you know, this thing could get into a crisis mode pretty quick in a few weeks when they go to Georgia, and especially if they get thumped up there. I mean, if they get drilled up there in Athens on national TV, and then they follow that up with a home loss against Vanderbilt, it's going to be a mess.
Well, you can't go that far about it. I think the biggest thing is, do you have the right kind of players? And if you do, get them to play. That's the key. Did we select the right people, and are we getting them to play? And Ken Donahue would take them in individually and talk to them in his office, because I pass his office all the time. And he would get them individually away from the field, and then he would lay all their families on the field. But he would do it, and Coach Bryant would watch him pretty close. But there's been a lot of good defensive coaches. I can't name them all. I forget names so much. That were there when I was there, but Ken would have done a good job with them. But you have to decide right now, do you have the kind of guy, did you get the right people? Do the people that started the game need to be dropped down to number two, and number two needs to be number one? That's what you got to figure out when you're in your depth chart. Okay, go ahead, Phil.
I feel like Kevin Riley earned the right to start. I thought he ran the ball pretty well the times he got it. He ran with a lot of energy, and I like the way he ran. I hope that they'll get Austin Maxx some playing time this week. I think it's a great opportunity to do that, and maybe even Keelon Russell, because those guys may be needed down the stretch if Tyler to get dinged up. And then after that, you've got to look at a youth movement possibly within the next few weeks if things go.
I don't think you affect your quarterback. I think you leave your quarterback alone.
One of the worst things that anybody can say, especially if you're a head coach, if you're a coach on any team, to me, the worst thing that people can say is that your team is soft. And now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. They got time to correct it. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that's the word they're using with this. Now, whether it's fair, you know, you get all the publicity when you're winning. You get the NIL going to go up when you're winning. So you got to take it when you go out there and lay an egg. You got to take it as well. Now, people are going to pile on even more now that you're making money, but hopefully they could, if they got to get rid of the soft part, if they get rid of that part, then I think the other stuff will take care of itself. But I wouldn't be worried about Georgia and Vanderbilt. And I know you're not a coach, and I'm sure they're not, but they need to worry about playing well this weekend and having a good practice today. I know they were off yesterday, so we'll see what happens.
Right, I guess what I'm saying about Georgia and Vanderbilt is if that happens, nobody wants to look for enlightenment from coaches at press conference as to what happened.
And I'll talk to Kevin about it. I think there's certain times you got to energize your fan base and you got to make them feel better by what you get in front of the microphone and say. And I think Nick Saban was the absolute best at it. And I think the guys that got in front of the microphone yesterday, honestly, Philip, did a terrible job of doing that.
Well, I think for both of you. I think the biggest thing you can do with your football team is to not have yesterday as an off day. I know you have to have an off day, but I would not have an off day after that. Of course, I practiced their butts after the game when it was legal, but I don't think you have an off day. I think that shows you the disgust that you have. Now, you've got to have an off day. I got that. But you don't have an off day when you normally would.
Well, so they practice on Sunday and take Mondays as their off day. So you would change that? Would you not practice Sunday?
I would get your attention by doing something a little different than we thought we were going to do with our team.
I think practicing Sunday, because these guys are beat up. You probably don't get as much out of them. Give them a day. And then Monday, then they had to just start knocking heads over there. But who knows? Thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
All right, 2-minute truck down at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. Give them a call today, 205-247-5050. It's 2 Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Alabamians are flocking across the state line to buy Powerball lottery tickets in Mississippi. The drawing last night did not produce a big winner, so the jackpot for Wednesday night's 11 p.m. drawing will be $1.3 billion. I did say billion with a B. The estimated cash value, $589 million before taxes. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage. It's free throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we're moving with a purpose for your Tuscaloosa freeways and side street. Right now, just looking at pretty basic travels here on McFarland. Both north and southbound onto Lurleen Wallace. Make that east and westbound onto Lurleen Wallace. You're doing just fine, Lurleen Wallace.
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Exciting. Visit us online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Tuscaloosa Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise, your car, your way, today.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
To inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Whose responsibility is it for these guys to play hard? Just the players internally, they got to do it on their own? Is it the position coach that tries to motivate these guys to play at a maximum level? I know they have these deals they put in their pads to see. They're giving maximum effort. Whose responsibility is it? Leaders of the football team? Everybody? Whose responsibility is it?
Well, the biggest responsibility is the kid himself.
Sure.
The expectation factor by the coach is there for them to play the way they are. The team factor is for the kids that are leaders on the team and realize that the team is not playing the way it needs to be playing in a quarter or 5 minutes or even a series of downs on offense or defense, and peps them up and tries to, and not fuss at them, but get them going and tell them, let's go. You got to have leaders on your team. The answer to the question is, the biggest percentage lies with the player himself. Now, myself as the coach of whoever the coach may be, Phillip, you, whoever, does what they can do to be darn sure that your team is ready to go with what you're going to do with them scheme-wise. And then you got to do it as hard as you can. So I know that the defense coordinator's gotten up and said, and I don't know him, but like to, I'm not here to criticize him, that they pretty much knew the things that Florida State was going to do. You know, they had the trick plays, the, you know, loop, you know, the reverses and so forth like that. If that's the case, I didn't think it. They played hard. I listened to other shows, and they I even listened to people that announced the games, and they didn't really discuss the playing hard. I guess that's just me. I do. You know, you got to understand what you're supposed to be doing. Is my position, is my ones and twos going to be the ones and twos at practice? I know that we're playing a team we're supposed to beat. Are my ones and twos are going to change as far as, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Ones and twos are very important now because of money and the money that you get. Ones and twos become bigger than ever ones, twos, and threes.
What do you do with your players to, I mean, they go play great this weekend and everybody's going to say, who cares? It's Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, right.
And so my advice to those guys would be delete all your social media. We got the only people that can fix it are in this room right here, the coaches and the players. And so, because it can get bad here now. You start playing like that and people crazy, to be quite honest with you. Well, how do you handle that with your players? Because they're all in this thing together. They're not going to fire Kalen DeBoer. So get over that. That's not going to happen. So you got to figure out how to make this thing work within what they got. What do you tell your players? Because it's bad out there listening to these shows and reading the social media and all that. They need to stay off all that stuff.
Well, your coaches in between are saying what Phillip has said. They're knowing what's going to come down. They're knowing that your Georgias are there and the Vanderbilts that could beat you and make you embarrass you are there in the future. So they know right now we've got to get better at this now. But now after they realize that they know that, they also know that we've got to get better for this game that we're going to win. And we need to get ourselves better for this particular game because it's the next one. You go to the next one in your mind, you know that this is if you get better now, hopefully you'll get better for Wisconsin. So I think that's a big factor. You know, everybody can read that the Wisconsin quarterback got injured. It was taken out of the game. Everybody's got that. So, you know, everybody's thinking about this, thinking about that when it comes to the lines and, you know, just way away from the team. But the team's got to get, I just think you just got to get their attention.
Yeah,
and I don't think Barry that you can overdo it. I don't think you want to overdo it. I'm not telling you to compare everybody up. I'm just you with your own way and your own gruffness, roughness. You got to try to correct it. I think.
Yeah. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Kevin Skarbinski when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Yeah. Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, we're moving with a purpose for your Tuscaloosa freeways and side street. Right now, just looking at pretty basic travels here on McFarland. Both north and southbound onto Lurleen Wallace. Make that east and westbound onto Lurleen Wallace. You're doing just fine. Lurleen Wallace.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with the Birmingham News. Also has a couple different podcasts. I know he'll talk about those at the end of his segment. Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good, fellas. How are you? Yep. I want to say this, and then you can tell what you want to say. I thought the effort was not there defensively. I don't know that they were wrong with their schemes. I didn't think the effort was there with even Ryan Williams myself, but I didn't think the effort was there that should have been there. Outside, I'll leave it alone, let you talk about what you thought about the game.
Well, obviously, I had a lot of thoughts about the game, and that I think you're spot on with that, Wimp. They looked slow. They looked unsure of themselves. They looked, as Kalen DeBoer and Kane Womack and others have said, they looked hesitant. I don't know if the humidity shouldn't get to you if you live and work in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I know it was steamy that day. They had that rain shower. But, man, they just – it didn't look like their hearts were in it. And now we've all seen clips from the game showing certain guys loafing. Somebody charted Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, former NFL quarterback, charted 21 loafs in the game. That is beyond unacceptable. The question is, and this is not a question we can answer, it's a question that Kalen DeBoer has to answer, is why? Why did that happen when you're playing a program that, despite last year's disaster of 2-10, Florida State's a well-known, respectable national brand. So did you think that you were going to walk in there and just stroll past them? That they weren't going to put up a fight, that they weren't going to hit you in the mouth. I'm sure they watched plenty of film. Gus Malzahn's at their best when he was, and he, of course, is the offensive coordinator of Florida State now. They run the ball. They confuse you with a lot of eye candy and motions, but they're a downhill running team. Gus has said that since he first came on the scene in college football. That's what he wants to do. That's what he does best. And when he has the players to operate that scheme, that's what they do. And that's what they did. So it is, more than anything, it is that lack of effort and intensity that is most baffling about that game.
What does this staff want to do, Kevin?
Well, I think, Barry, you asked a few weeks ago a very good question. I didn't have an answer then. I don't have an answer now. It's what is the identity of a Kalen DeBoer football team?
Yeah.
I thought that was – you were Nostradamus with that question, considering the way things turned out on Saturday. And I don't think we know. Are they a pretty team that, you know, when they're – offense is humming. They throw the ball up and down the field. Then they mix in the run game. I don't think we know what a Kalen DeBoer football team's identity is. And part of that is, you know, he's only been a head coach in the Football Bowl subdivision. This is his fourth year. 2 years at Washington, last year at Alabama and one game into his fourth year. So he's still developing an identity as a head coach. So to expect that he would have this all figured out, I think was a little optimistic, shall we say. He's still learning and growing as a coach, as a head coach, and he's certainly learning a lot as an SEC head coach. And everybody says it, nobody believes it until they live it, that it's just different in the SEC. And I know Florida State's not an SEC team, but they're a Deep South team. And they had the crowd rolling, chopping, chanting. That place gets really intense. I've covered a lot of games there through the years, and it is an SEC-like atmosphere. So when you get behind the eight ball and the other team and Florida State starts rolling, that's a very tough place to play.
If you're the athletic director there, do you sit down with discussions? Do you leave it alone and don't discuss, don't call him in and discuss anything? And the only reason I say this, you're with the permission of the athletic committee, you yourself hired the guy. Do you leave that alone, or do you discuss anything at all with him about the team?
You know, that can be a difficult question. It depends on what. No, seriously. I mean, ask. Go back to Gene Stallings and Bob Bockrath after Alabama lost to Mississippi State in 1996. Yeah. Immediately after the game, they had some cross words, shall we say. And so, it really depends on what is their relationship like. You know, how often do they talk? Do they normally talk after games? You know, they've been through a full season together now, and they're heading into year two. So is it normal for Greg Byrne to talk to Kalen DeBoer after games on Sunday, on Monday, after a football game? I think the one thing, I know a lot of people are throwing out crazy, wild suggestions, fire the coach, fire the AD, fire the defensive coordinator, fire everybody. That is just wildly over-emotional to make those kind of statements. The key is to not panic. Yeah, you've got to change some things. You've got to figure, like I said, you've got to figure out why your team didn't play with its hair on fire on Saturday, because you're going to play games, not the next game necessarily, and not necessarily the game after that. But that game at the end of September, when you have to go to Athens, Georgia, you better play, you better lay your guts on the line. You better bring everything you got. And if you're not good enough, you're not good enough that day. But nobody better question your effort. And that needs to start Saturday. Nobody needs to question Alabama's effort going forward. You can question schemes. You can question performance. You can question why Ryan Williams has become a shadow of the player he was to start last year. He dropped three passes. He looks lost out there. He didn't look like his mind was on his business, and he wasn't the only one. But he stands out because he has superstar talent.
Yeah,
he has superstar talent, and he's playing like a third stringer. He looks like a third stringer out there.
You know, Kevin, I hate to keep comparing Saban, but when Saban spoke, if they had a problem, you felt like it was going to get fixed. You know, we talk about media day sometimes. Hey, this coach needs to win the press conference. What he says behind that microphone today is going to be important. Fan bases, whatever. I felt like yesterday that those three, the head coach and the two coordinators, needed to win the press conference. Kevin, they were not very good. I didn't get a warm fuzzy that the problems that happened on Saturday by their demeanor and all that was going to get fixed. When Nick Saban spoke, by God, it was going to get fixed. These guys aren't very good in front of the microphone. I don't have any confidence based on what was said yesterday that they really totally understand what's going on the outside. The fans, or me, I need to hear something different yesterday, and I didn't. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100%. And look, Kalen DeBoer is not an inspirational speaker.
Mm-mm.
In those settings, we haven't seen him in the locker room with his team. Maybe he flips a switch in those situations. But what we see at press conferences, he's very, very meek and comes across as very meek and mild. Now, look, he can't be meek. Let's say this. The man can't be meek and mild and have had the success as a football coach that he has had. He has to have a toughness about him. I don't believe that he is, all the left coast, west coast slander that's been thrown at him. The man has to have toughness about him. I don't question that. But it doesn't show. He doesn't communicate it. And yesterday was a day. A lot of Monday press conferences are routine, often boring, sometimes unnecessary in many ways. Yesterday was important.
I thought so.
He and his coordinators, I thought, needed to let the fan base know, because that's who you're really talking to.
Sure.
And maybe secondarily, you're sending a message to your players as well, as Saban famously did at press conferences. They communicate that, first of all, they understood what the problem was, that they know why what happened happened, and they know how to fix it. And I don't think they succeeded on either front. I don't think they let people know that they understood why that happened, that they know why that happened. I'm not confident today, maybe I'm 100% wrong, I'm not confident today that they weren't blindsided by that performance. I get the sense that they didn't see that coming, certainly. And so how do you fix something if you don't know why it happened in the first place?
Yeah. From all indications, that was not how they were practicing. But I was telling Dad this earlier. Football always is crazy to me. Basketball, you play 30 games and you got the tournament. You may play 38 games. Football, you get 12 times that you're guaranteed. 12. Yeah. All the work you put in, and for mm-hmm. 12, for a football team to ever be flat with only 12 games. Now, it may be game 7, you're playing the Citadel or something, you might be flat. But I don't see how a football team really should ever be flat with only 12 opportunities guaranteed.
Well, and that's something, it's interesting, because I've talked to a number of coaches through the years. I can remember Pat Dye, just maybe the first one I heard say it, that you can only really get your football team up to a peak 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And but that should have, Saturday should have been one of those times. As you said, you have been working since January pointing towards that game. For 8 months, you worked pointing towards that game. And that's the performance that you turned in? That's what's hard to believe. If they had played their guts out and lost by 2 touchdowns, that would be different. If Florida State looked like a national championship contender, and look, we should give Florida State some credit.
Sure.
We are focusing on Alabama, obviously, and we're hammering Alabama, and that's certainly warranted. But Florida State was a different football team.
Sure.
Last year looks like an aberration. They looked more like the team they were 2 years ago when they ran the table during the regular season, won the ACC championship game, but lost their quarterback, and therefore didn't get in the playoff, and Alabama did. So, give them some credit. But yeah, that if they had played their guts out and lost, and then they kind of, you know, drowned Saturday against Louisiana Monroe, that would be understandable.
Yeah.
But that performance in an opening game, It's head scratching. It's mind boggling. It's hard to understand.
Yeah. That.
I don't really have any great questions to ask you. What do you do with your staff as the head coach behind the scenes? I know. You talk about the players, but what do you do? What do you do? Because Coach Bryant with his staff, you said the wrong thing. he nailed you. I mean, he called you in and got your fanning. What do you do with your staff? How do you talk to them? We know Barry's already talked about not getting much information from them yesterday. But what? How do you talk to your staff as a head coach?
Well, it's different for every one of them. But you know, the guys that we think of as elite coaches that we've seen just in this state, you know, at Alabama and at Auburn, you know, Gene Stallings or Bear Bryant or Nick Saban or Pat Dye. Well, I can tell you this, and I can say this with some confidence, having talked to enough of Nick Saban's assistants through the years, it would have been a very uncomfortable and unpleasant Sunday morning, afternoon, and evening had one of Saban's teams turned in a performance like that in the first game. Very uncomfortable.
In basketball, I wouldn't have talked to my staff much because it's a different kind of practice. But I would have nailed my team pretty hard. I think I know it would.
Yeah,
so. I think with your staff, especially in football, I mean they're over their. I mean, they almost got to feel like their job's on the line. You know, I mean, they got to coach like their job's on the line.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, right, Kevin? Yeah. I mean, you can't buy out Kalen DeBoer. You can't buy out Kalen DeBoer, but you can buy out these other guys.
Oh, you can change coordinators. You can change position coaches. Oh, there's a lot of other things you can do. And, you know, when the time is appropriate.
Sure,
well, after
now.
One game is not the appropriate time, of course. Despite some of the wailing and screeching we've heard last 48 hours. But, so this is where I'm going back to your point, Barry, when you only play 12 regular season games, you would expect a sense of urgency. You would expect, and here's something else, and this goes player to player as well. You know, players coaching players, players motivating players, players getting on players' butts if they don't do what they're supposed to do or they don't lay it on the line. And there were times in that game when you might have expected when they got back to, I'm thinking of the defense in particular, and I'm thinking of one play in particular, that when they got back to the sideline, that you saw guys in each other's faces, that you saw guys getting heated, that you saw frustration and you saw anger. And maybe that some of that went on and they didn't show it. I don't recall seeing on the television, you know, watching the game on television. So maybe so. And not only then, but in the postgame locker room, at practice on Sunday. And you know, again, Kalen DeBoer said it, that the guys were, you know, he said it in very mild terms that the guys, you know, there's a greater responsibility. He can talk differently to the team this year. I thought this was interesting when he said he can talk to the team differently this year than he did last year. I'd love to have some more detail on that. That's probably all he's going to say about it. But that was curious. But, you know, there should have been some hard words exchanged, player to player, assistant coach to player, coach to coach, and head coach to everybody. Maybe there were.
Well, he can talk to the team however he wants. He's the head coach.
Like I said, did you not catch that? I
mean, yeah.
Yesterday he did. You know, so how was he talking to him last year? And that is the biggest. Here to me is the bottom line on this performance. Is all of the talk for the last 8-9 months has been this year's different. Last year was chaotic. It was a late coaching change when Saban decided to retire. A lot of players left. So they were putting together a roster. Guys kept going. They're trying to establish themselves. So you're going to have ups and downs in the first year, and you're following the greatest, at least one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. So the problem is that yesterday looked so much like Oklahoma, like Vanderbilt, like Michigan, you know, the games that they lost. It's just unfathomable to think that they have lost 4 games to double-digit underdogs. away from home. And this is now, they lost by 3 touchdowns to Oklahoma. They lose by 3 touchdowns to Florida State. And we still don't know what Florida State is. We don't know if that was, you know, they looked like, this is what, and this contrast stands out. Florida State looked like a team that spent the last 8 months hungry, intense towards that game to bring their best against that team. And they did it. They brought it. And they had a lot of players coming in. They brought in a lot of new players. And they didn't have a lot of them in the spring. Gus Malzahn talked about that. So they didn't really have their full complement, their team together until fall camp. And yet they looked like they were ready to play in every conceivable way, and Alabama didn't. And that's hard to understand, and it's hard to explain. And that's why now they have just ramped up the important rethink going forward. Not just winning, but how hard do you look like you're playing? How hard does Alabama play?
They don't call Belichick. They don't call North Carolina.
It's amazing.
Could be worse. It could be Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
they might make a quick phone call to Auburn.
In 1 week, the perception of Auburn and Alabama has completely flipped, Kevin.
But it's never talked. It's not talked about.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a perfect example of the relative. What's the right word? Identity, popularity, scrutiny on those two programs. Auburn plays its best game under Hugh Freeze.
You don't hear.
But it got completely overshadowed, and they win by two. They go on the road against a solid. Baylor may end up may go 5-7. We don't know, but Baylor was considered to be one of at least a somewhat of a contender in the Big 12, for whatever that's worth.
That's true.
And Auburn controlled the game. Auburn ran for 300 yards. Auburn was more physical on both sides of the ball up front.
We don't talk about
them. And we're not talking about it. It's getting completely overshadowed because of how poorly Alabama played. And it was the exact opposite. Auburn ran the ball and stopped the run. Alabama couldn't run the ball and didn't stop the run. Complete opposite of Auburn against Baylor. And yet all anyone is talking about is Alabama. But the perception of the two programs, yes, Barry, you're absolutely right, has completely flipped. Alabama was considered a national championship contender, almost a playoff lock by a lot of people. And now you got people talking about 7-5 and 6-6 and Auburn beating Alabama. I mean, there's a legitimate reason to think after you watch those two football teams on Friday and Saturday. Auburn just continues. And again, so many things are going to happen between now and the end of November that Auburn would be favored.
This is a call-in radio show that we talk about different things. Do we make any comment at all about UAB?
No.
I don't think there's. Well, look, I'll just make one comment. Their offense looked really, really good. Their defense. The less said about their defense, the better. And they're about to play Navy, which averaged 8 yards a play against UAB last year. So good luck in that trip to Annapolis to the place.
That will be a beatdown. I don't know what the line is, but it'll be a beatdown.
I like blue play.
We need to find out. What conference is UAB in?
American.
I'm going to tell you the line right now. Let's see.
That's a conference game, too.
21.5. It's 21.5. Yeah. So.
Not enough.
Tell everybody where they can find you, Kevin.
Best thing to do, follow me on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with the columns I write every week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com. And check out my new podcast. I'll have one up later today. You can find that on YouTube. Kevin Skarbinski-Skarbo Knows.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. There's Kevin Skarbinski. I think he nailed it.
I talked about that yesterday, Barry. We don't listen to these shows, do our show. We don't say anything about Auburn's victory at all.
It happened on Thursday.
Yeah.
But it was a good win. And they were fired up for it. So the emotion around that program and the emotion around Alabama in game one, not even close. Let's just be honest. All right, we'll take the break. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. we'll react to what Kalen DeBoer had to say in his weekly press conference on Monday following the loss to Florida State. Plus the Rocket Man, Rudy Armand from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville and your phone calls. That's the Gary Harris Show. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Quite a debut for Coach Bill Belichick at North Carolina Monday night. At home, the Tar Heels were beaten 48-14 by TCU, which had nearly 260 yards rushing and over 280 yards passing. Defensive end Micah Parsons was limited in his first practice at Green Bay. He has a joint sprain in his back. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, with his bad back, is expected to start the opener this weekend. Naomi Osaka beat Coco Gauff in a fourth-round match at the U.S. Open. To Major League Baseball, the Phillies won 10-8 at Milwaukee. The Mets were 10-8 winners at Detroit. Juan Soto with a grand slam and a two-run triple. Cincinnati with three runs in the bottom of the ninth beat Toronto 5-4. Toronto had just scored three runs in the top of the ninth. The Cubs in 10 innings beat Atlanta. Texas came back to win in 10 innings at Arizona. Victories for Houston and Tampa Bay. Baltimore won 4-3 at San Diego.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Got a little more volume working now on 43 southbound onto McFarland Boulevard as your rush to work. We get in the heart of your rush to work. And then on this Tuesday morning, we've got some, heaviness on McFarland at the Lurline Wallace intersection, which is pretty much typical for you. Moving on 2059.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 85, tonight's low 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wimp Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Appreciate Kevin Skarbinski who joined us in the first hour. You want to jump in with us? No guests this hour, so we have plenty of time to take your phone calls. Also, get that vinegar tip in at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, and maybe kick around a little bit of blue plate talk. 2-0, Chase. Make sure when you put that tweet out on Friday that you give him credit for being 2-0. He'll be upset, but 2-0 is good. And really, the Tennessee game, that was a pretty easy one, I thought.
What no easy game. Nobody knew before the game is going to be
that. No, that was a good pick. I thought you did a good job studying there. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at the new inventory, pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule service, rent a Toyota, order a part. Anything you need to do, you can do it right there on the website. If you'd like to talk to people and don't want to use a computer, then swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin, and he will set you right up. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to Tuscaloosa Toyota Hotline. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, Bryce.
Well, I run my mouth about Alabama's going to, and I'm going to accept, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, you know, because I have never seen a performance in a game like we just saw on defense. You got no effort. Nobody act like they wanted to hit nobody. I mean, you just don't have no pride, no heart in this defense. I mean, it's hard for me to explain how bad that defense was the time I seen them play that bad. Maybe the Utah game, you know, when they didn't show up and play, but you at least had some people had some heart and effort. But to get beat on the trenches like that, it's just... You know, I've been in Caleb DeBoer's corner all year, and last year too, defending him. But man, when he stands over on that sideline and looks like he's coaching Pee Wee football, no demeanor or nothing. I mean, you got to holler and scream at people to get their attention. I mean, you being coaches, y'all know that.
Yeah, that wasn't good. They only ran for 87 yards, and they got 50-something yards on the first series. So there's more problems than just the defense, Bryce, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Well, the way I'm looking at this, the defense dug you such a – I mean, Ty Simpson did not need to complete 40 passes, you know. That wasn't what this game plan was. And no more playing time than he's had. That's asking a lot of him, you know. And you could see that this was his first game because he was going to have some things that he didn't do well, and he did, you know. But your defense hadn't got you in the hole, you could have stuck to your game plan, because I liked the play call it that first series and everything. I thought we played, but it didn't turn out.
Bryce, let me ask you this. Why do we build these guys up and even the new coaches and talk about how great they are before we ever even play a game? Why don't we wait and let a couple of games play, and then we'll kind of – but I think as fans, we try to put these guys on such a pedestal before they've even played. Why do we do that?
I agree with you, and I have to worry about me again. I'm going to look at it as like they're the Dallas Cowboys, and if they win, that's good. And if they don't, you don't expect it. Yeah. That's where I'm at with it. Yeah, I ain't gonna say nothing about it, because I've lost all confidence in this defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but did y'all see the — what really turned me off? Did you see the video in the locker room after the game? Had you done got your butts handed to you?
No, what was it?
Did y'all see that video?
What was it?
Well, you had about 7 or 8 players just sitting there, you know, just acting like they won a game, and they didn't care if they won or lost.
Hmm.
I mean, I'll send it to you. I mean, when I seen that, that was my last straw.
There you go.
I mean, you get kids accountable, like when they're making them 15-yard penalties. You got to get their attention and get them out of the game and really get on them, because that's what stopped these drives, these penalties. You cannot have that many penalties on the road. I mean, you're 2-5 on the road. That's your record.
Not good.
That's not good at all. I mean, I saw the same thing in this game that I saw in the Oklahoma game and in the Vanderbilt game and in the bowl game. I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, I don't see any changes. See, the other teams make adjustments, but we cannot make adjustments.
Well, you got to take it one practice at a time and stop worrying about the playoffs and all that, and then just play it one.
I didn't make no prediction.
Yeah.
You know, I take it one game at a time, but they got a lot of improvement to do. I mean, I'm at this conference right here. I ain't where Joe is. I thought Joe had done fell off the wagon when I heard what he said. Joe's got more confidence than I got in him.
There you go.
Like I said, I'm going to treat it like the Dallas Cowboys. You know, if we win, that's great. We don't, I'm not expecting it.
There you go.
That's where I'm going to be. But I appreciate y'all letting me talk. But
thank you, Bryce. Appreciate you.
I'm not one to run my mouth and not, if I'm wrong, admit that I'm wrong, you know.
Respect all, Bryce. Fear none. Thank you, Bryce. All right, back up to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Joseph?
What's up, man?
How are you?
Annoying. I'm doing pretty good. I'm to this point. I think the boys shoot off for this program. All right, Alabama State coach. I think if he don't get his stuff together, I think he's going to lose his job at the end of next year. Alabama is not going to continue putting up with mediocre performances and losing to unranked teams. Everybody wants to say, oh, the quarterback's the problem. The quarterback's not the problem when you get dominated on the offensive line and defensive line up front, and the quarterback don't play defense. And Ty Simpson had a 254-yard passing game that game. And Jeremy Bernard had 146 receiving yards, if that tells you anything. But I think this coaching staff needs to be put some pressure on. I think they need to say, hey, look, you need to get your crap together. I think Greg Byrne needs to have a hard conversation with Kevin DeBoer. I'm like, hey, you need to get your crap together and realize this, we're not playing. We want to win ball games.
But when you have a $70 million buyout, I mean, you can say all that. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I think you can't fire him this year. You have to fire him at the end of next year.
I'm just saying, when you got a buyout, what's the buyout drop to next year?
50.
50.
Yeah.
But that's 50, and then you got assistants you got to pay them too. So you're probably looking at, I don't know, $75 million to make a coaching change.
But you know, like I know, Alabama has always been about success. And we're not going to handle mediocre. So we have a history winning program at the University of Alabama. And we're not going to let Kalen DeBoer drag us down like we ought to. Because I guarantee you, them boosters, they'll come up with the money to buy this coach out. Our boosters will. They're not going to put up with it. They get sick of it and say, here's the money. We want him fired.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, you don't have any confidence they can turn it around.
Well, I mean, I'm going to see what he does the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is the only game he drops and he goes undefeated, you know, the rest of the season, then that looks good on Kalen DeBoer. But
what is all this noise? Where are you guys? Like airplanes and water and.
Yeah, I'm at.
Are you outside?
I'm at the airport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if Kalen DeBoer goes and wins the rest of the games and makes the playoffs, that'd get the heat off of him. But right now, Alabama fans are wanting his head on a platter right now, yeah. And I'm one of them.
Yeah. We'll see. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
All right. I don't know. Any comment on all that?
No comment at all. Don't have anything.
All right, we'll take a break here, and we'll get back. It's the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Filling in a whole lot more with the volume on Lurline Wallace. Southbound lanes onto University Boulevard. So that's got a long line of brake lights taking you back to 5th Street. And we're also looking at some heavy traffic here. A lot heavier on 43 South.
Thousands of kids who've been waiting over a year. End their wait. Sponsor a child with compassion today. Just text the word radio to 83393.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside
assistance. And high quality ingredients. We want to say, that sounds great. We've been doing that since 1974.
Under the biggest cactus in town, Taco Casa.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Of Alabama. This is Crimson Tide today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As Alabama starts preparations for ULM on Saturday, here are some thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer, from his Monday press conference.
We're certainly disappointed in some effort situations that happened. I think they came in different ways, and some of it's just flat out got to pursue, got to get there. And it surprises you sometimes when it happens, especially with certain guys, because of the effort that they put in day in and day out. And I think there were some other things that come across as, hesitancy, as a way I kind of put it. And I think after the game, probably would follow that up and say that there was a couple times where we just got to be quicker to get to a spot and do our job,
I'll have more in a moment.
This year, we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security, Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Phone lines are open 205-342-9904. These coordinators did meet with the media. That's been how they do it. They meet every Monday, I guess. After, I don't know if they'd meet again or not. But, Dad, you go through all fall camp. You go to the summer. You go through fall camp. You win a job. And I'm sure these guys that were starting earned the opportunity to start. They wouldn't put them out there. What do you do if you have some guys that earned it? Do you, after one game, do you make changes? Or do you say, they spent all this time to win the job. Yeah, you didn't play hard. We show them the film. and we give them another opportunity. When is the right time to make a change if you feel like that these guys aren't giving you what you need? Because they had to win the job. They had to practice well during fall camp, or they wouldn't be in that top 11.
Well, I would make a change if I felt like the guy had the attitude and not caring or sitting around, you know, not worrying about the loss that they had in the dressing room after the game. I'd make a change. And I think it goes individually as to how, you know, individual on the line and various places on the field. But there would be certain spots I'd make changes. I don't know that I'd make a change at every position in the line, offensive, defensive side. But I'd make some changes. I wouldn't let it sit the way it's been sitting. All the calls and all the stuff that people are not the calls don't matter, but I just wouldn't take it for granted. I would make some changes to answer your question.
Yeah, if I had a guy that maybe, I gave him the job because he was a junior and he was maybe over, maybe it was real close, and I said, well, he's been here longer, he's paid his dues. But I had one younger that probably was better, I'd go ahead and change that one because the portal, you know, you don't want to lose the one that's better because you played the one that was older. And that happens sometimes. So we'll see. Let's hear what Kane Womack said, Chase, on that last clip. How will he address players who showed limited effort?
Acting their ability to go full speed.
Yeah, I think some of those things, we have guys that play with great effort. They play with great enthusiasm and energy, and that did not show up on Saturday. But I'm not going to we're going to allow our players to get it fixed. And so certainly there was enough blame to go around. You can point to every position on the field, right, that had issues in terms of not executing the level they're capable of and not playing with the passion and energy and effort that we have established here as a defense already. And so those are things that we're going to allow guys to get fixed, but certainly a body of work as you look into the season, right, a rep base is going to be, based upon what you do on the field from an execution standpoint. But I don't think there's a guy on our defense that doesn't take ownership of what happened. That starts with me. It ends with our players. And I think everybody's ready to go establish that in the defense that we're capable of playing moving forward on Saturday.
Well, that's a statement that, that you want to make that, and you want to if you feel that way, they're disappointed the way they played, then by George, they need to show you in practice, and they need to show you if you want to keep it as the defense coordinator starts with you, and then you keep it as it is.
But do you follow that question up with, okay, you said they give effort in practice, you were surprised, why did you find out why? And I don't know that he would answer it. Why did they give you a lack of effort in the first game at Florida State? Would that have been a good follow-up question to that answer?
Well, yeah. After the first plays of the game, and as they took the ball down the field, it may have been in their mind that this is going to be pretty easy. That shouldn't happen. But you got to be ready to play because one monkey doesn't make a circus any more than one touchdown makes a game. So I'd treat it pretty toughly. I think he's hired to know what to do if they don't play the way they need to play, and I think that lays in his hands. Hopefully it is not a factor that the players are not as good as we thought. The expectation factor among the ability of the players is not there. And I don't know the answer to that because I'm not there.
Yeah, all right, let's play the clip above that one, Chase. They talked about the players were hesitant on the field. And, you know, you go through scout team. I mean, I knew what Gus Malzahn was going to run. And I don't know if you're hesitant to sprint real hard one way, they're going to get you on reverse the next way. They did look tentative, and I don't know why, but they did ask coach about that. And here's what he had to say.
Does it happen again when more adversity is faced?
Well, I think, again, that goes into the pattern of us on the road as a football team. You know, I think about the two games and a half that we, defensively have played timid and on our heels. And those are situations where on the road, we've got to make sure that that we protect our sideline. I talk about it all the time. The sideline is a living, breathing organism that you've got to make sure you're doing your job to feed that the right way. And so, you know, even as a coaching staff, we got to make sure that we're challenging ourselves. There's so many things now with the iPads that you're making checks and adjustments and corrections. But let's make sure that we're also keep the main thing as a coaching staff, right? That we are making sure our players are ready to physically, mentally go out on the field and go play in an attacking mindset. And that's something that we didn't do a good enough job as a coaching staff.
Well, that's an answer. It's an answer that needs to be followed through with correction.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can overdo it with those iPads and, I mean, the footwork may not, but sometimes you just got to say, just get there. Get there. I don't care how you get there. Just get there and stop thinking. I think sometimes you can overthink this thing.
I think his press conferences are disappointing to me a little bit in that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
They are disappointing. They're very disappointing.
I don't have an answer. The answer lies in the next games. And even though this is a game that you should win, you need to get out and show your effort as hard as you can and play. And you need to be substituted for very quickly. If you don't want to substitute for them and give them another chance, so to speak, as he said, okay, that's your feeling. But the minute you break down by effort and your attitude, then you swap right then, right during the game. He seems to want to leave it as is.
Yeah,
in my opinion, that was the sentence I got was that leave it as is, and we just got to do better. We got to play better. We all figured that out.
It's almost and like you could say, will you please play harder?
It was the problem is to make a statement that when we go to Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Florida State, we just got to learn to play. I don't understand that. Good grief! I don't understand that. I don't understand that exactly.
It's almost like we're at home and people are cheering for us. We're going to play hard then. Now we didn't say that, but
I mean, you go. You know, Georgia's got mad on for Alabama because
they're going to try to kill Alabama if they can.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to knock them naked and hide their clothes. Georgia loses on big time plays, two or three big time plays, a game they could have won. They're going. It's going to be. When you listen to the press conferences, for me, I haven't heard the offensive press conference, but the defensive press conference, it puts me more in a little bit of a hole just as a fan than they did before the press.
That's what I'm saying. I thought they should have won the press conference by going in there very matter of fact. We're gonna fix this. I'm gonna find me 11 guys. They're gonna run to the football. We got 11. We're gonna find 11. No job is secure. I'm not worried about injuries. We're gonna find out in practice this week. I would have felt better if he said that. But all right, play that. Play that second clip.
And I would have, and that's the reason I said a minute ago that the head football coach has got to nail the assistant, but I don't think he's a nailer.
Mm-mm. His press conference wasn't any. Play that second clip about how will the lack of physicality be addressed moving forward?
How will that be addressed moving forward?
I think sometimes you know, one of our keys to victory, right, was that when you're playing a team that moves laterally in the one-plus quarterback system, there has to be elements of being patient to let the ball declare. But once the ball declares, one of our keys to victory was to finish with violence and aggressiveness on the ball. I thought we let some of the things that they did put us on our heels, and we didn't respond well enough when adversity hit. And so those things, you know, you can tell them. Sometimes you have to be shown. And I think once our players were shown, I think they're ready to respond.
Well, they went one way, and all of a sudden they handed the football off, went the other. I mean, they reversed it, you know, just and walked through there. You know, I don't know these. I don't know these coaches like I knew the coaches that I worked with for all those years. So hard for me to comment, but it's quite different.
Yeah. Well, when you say Coach DeBoer says, well, I feel like I can talk to them differently than last year's team. No, you can talk to them however you want. You're paying them. You're the head coach. Whatever you want to tell them, you can't go in there because you're worried about what they might think. If you start worrying about all that, then I don't know. Let's talk about Brian Bank. Let's get to a vinegar tip or something.
Brian Bank. I can't find a vinegar tip that even suits this group. Brian Bank is your bank. I say that most of the time because it's the bank that that you know, and I have a feel for them for a long time. I've been working, leaving my money with them. If you go by there, they'll know you on the second trip. They'll probably know you on the first, and certainly know you on the second. There'll be a bank that will handle your money in a way that it'll be safe. There'll be a bank that will do a good job of letting you bank online around the clock, and they will answer all your questions concerning your money and anything that you need to know about what you need to do with your banking account, whether it be personal or business. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard Barry and I talk about it on Inside the Locker Room and trade. And I think that you'll enjoy the relationship with the bank there, and I think that you will find that they will do a good job for you.
All right, phone lines be up at 205-342-9904. Also have the vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. We'll get that when we get back from break. Maybe you got any vinegar that makes you play hard? Maybe you got one of those tips. It's the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Filling in a whole lot more with the volume on Lurline Wallace. Southbound lanes onto University Boulevard. So that's got a long line of brake lights taking you back to 5th Street. And we're also looking at some heavy traffic here. A lot heavier on 43 southbound onto McFarland Boulevard. With that costing you a bit of a solid back to Flatwoods Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Easy and exciting. Visit us online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Tuscaloosa Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car, your way, today.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Didn't really get to this segment yesterday with all the phone calls, but today we're going to get to it. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500, 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200. Michael will take great care of you. He does it for us. What is the vinegar tip for this Tuesday?
Well, everybody's telling me that the kids get insect bites, stuff like that, bee stings and all that. Jasmine Rez had called about that. What do you do about that? So what you want to do, if you get, if your kids or yourself get stung by a bee, is to make a kind of a pasty mix and rub on with apple cider vinegar and 2 tablespoons of cornstarch. You find your little cornstarch and mix it up with some apple cider vinegar and put that mixture on those bee stings and on those places that your kids get. Itch will be relieved immediately, and the paste, when the paste dries and the hurt's over with, it'll disappear, my buddy's saying, you wash it off. Cornstarch. That's it.
Chase, you get that? Stings.
Bee stings and insects.
Bee stings and insects. Stinky feet, stinky hands. Sunburn. Toilets.
We got all soap for these things. Oh, we got to use practical uses that in the house. We've got the, windows and the rugs and stuff. I got some good stuff on that.
That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance Coverage for TTown.com. Michael's got all of us now. He's got my brother. He's got me. He's got you. Who else he got? He got a little bit of everybody. All right, Dan Orlowski. You know Dan, the former quarterback, and he's on ESPN. I think Dan's fair. I like Dan. Chase, you like Dan? He's going sideways. You can tell him or leave him.
He's on. What's he on? I can't.
ESPN. He's on in the mornings. He talks more NFL probably than college.
Yeah, so I thought.
But he was actually. Was he on the set last night? He was on one of the college sets. Anyway, he said, Dan said, Nick Saban watched this tape back yesterday, he would have kicked some of these kids off the team. That's how bad it was. Alabama's problem is their controllables. When you watch this defense run to the football, you like, in quotations, where is the effort to the ball, the angles to the ball, the tackling to the ball? It's not a talent issue. It's a controllables issue. It's Dan or I don't know if the coach would have kicked somebody off the team. They'd have felt like they would.
Barrett, we got a quarterback that's transferred from Boston College that called Alabama everything. They can't play without Saban. And I don't believe. I guess he's right. And they ain't got mad at him yet. I mean, he cut them up. You know,
he said the disrespect will be addressed.
it needs to be addressed. I'll tell you right now, because we kept saying on this radio show and other radio show, God, a quarterback needs to keep his mouth shut. They're gonna nail him. They're gonna knock him naked and hide his clothes. Well, crap! They just soft tackled him when they got him.
Nick Saban was saying, and I know we talk about Nick Saban too much.
Well, Nick Saban's careful now.
Yeah, he's very careful. This is before the game. He was on the set. They were talking about the quarterback from Florida State talking. He said, yeah, Vanderbilt, they beat somebody one time. They beat them bad. And they said, bring on Alabama. And he said, we brought it on. I think in the first half, we were up 50-something to nothing. Like he said, I used it. I used it to bring on Alabama, and he used that, and they brought it on. They came, Chase, was 50-something. He said it was 50-something to nothing at the half.
If you mentally want to do something, you got a better chance to do it physically. If you really want to do it, if you really want to go see your girlfriend or whatever you want to do, you get there to see. If you really want to do this, you want to do that, you do it. You get it done. If you mentally try it hard, and I don't think these guys did that. I don't think they were mentally ready to play. I use that mental stuff too much, but I don't think it worked.
All right, tomorrow we're going to turn the page.
We are?
Well, maybe. And see if they're going to we're going to see what they do. Now, when they go out there and steamroll Monroe, that's, they can do that. Monroe won 29-0. Now, they played St. Francis. I don't know if St. Francis is any good, but Monroe might play you better than you think. I don't know what they got at Monroe, but
they beat Nick Saban one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get back. We'll take a break. We'll go up the phone line. We'll maybe peek at some of these SEC games. Maybe see if you're leaning towards a blue plate special. That blue plate special is 2-0, Chase. And it's brought to you by Brian Harden Construction.
The line's coming up, man.
The lines are out, baby. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the teams that's been building Tuscaloosa Beyond for over 30 years. Who is that? Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services. From custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals, no job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. That's Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. We'll look at some of these SEC games when we get back from break. That's the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Of the game, we'll start turning our head toward ULM. We'll do a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, a little this and a little bit of that. Nothing too severe. We're looking at 15th Street, just a little patchy, but it's moving steady from McFarland to 359 or Lurline Wallace. And we're also looking nicely on 2059. That continues to...
Video and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at Wyatt.Fulton at townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more and let's help your business score big.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A partly sunny sky today. A few spots could see a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 66. Tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. The chance of a few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. We won't play any Kalen, but we'll play just a little bit of Ryan Grubb. Then we'll look at a couple of these games for this coming weekend. I didn't think the offensive line protected very well. Did you, Dad? I didn't think Ty had much time at all.
He didn't have a great day, and offensive line had something to do with it. He didn't have a great day, though. I didn't think.
Yeah,
he stood in the dirt a couple of times, and either Williams couldn't get open or whatever. But I didn't think it was very good.
All right, let's hear what Ryan Grubb had to say about the offensive line and what improvement does he want to see, especially after watching the film.
There's some good spurts there in the first half where I thought, especially on the left side, they played really well.
I think the consistency to finish drives, you know, the longer drives, I thought later in the football game we kind of waned out a little bit. And the guys bowed up a little bit in the third quarter and showed that they could do that a little better job. So just the biggest piece, I think, is the consistency part. We just got to be a little more consistent on how we finish drives.
Play the next.
Well, I think you go a little bit, and I don't know how much individual players you talk about, but you got to mention them a little bit. Maybe he felt like it wasn't good enough to mention anybody.
He said he thought the left side of the line played well.
Yeah, I mean individual players back there. So I don't know. I didn't get much out of that either.
Yeah,
it wasn't supposed to be a talk about effort particularly, but maybe the offensive line sometimes doesn't do what you want them to do, and we don't realize it as much as fans. But I don't know.
Play that third clip about the pass protection from the Florida State game, Chase. Play it.
Saturday.
I thought, you know, KP had a pretty good day. There was a couple late pressures, but I mean he was holding up for a long time. Interior pressures were a couple times we had a few problems, which is always the hardest for the quarterback to deal with, is interior pressures fast. So they shored up later in the fourth on that, but I think, you know, they did a good job with some of the twist games that they presented, and overall, you know, three sacks is not where you want to be. And you know, I think we had 40-some attempts, so that's not where you want to live either. But I thought it was okay. I think there's certainly some ID things that we can continue to be better at.
He just doesn't – I don't know. He doesn't seem disgusted.
Well, I just don't think these new coaches coming in here feel the lay of the land. Mm. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think they feel the you know, I got about $1 million house, and I just got moved in. My wife's gonna get straightened.
Sometimes you're in the NFL, you need to lose a game. It don't really matter. We got 17 of them. It's almost like, yeah, well, I thought we played pretty well. Well, we did good on a couple of, like, what? You're playing 12 games. Like, you're trying to get into the 12-team playoff. Like, you didn't play well. Y'all didn't play well. He makes it sound like they played well. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't know. All right, the weekend, 11 o'clock, ABC, San Jose, Texas. Arch Manning did not play well. He will play well against San Jose State. Texas, 36.5-point favorite. They probably cover that. Texas A&M, Utah State, nothing. Austin Peay in Georgia. Georgia's smart. They play nobody. Ole Miss, Kentucky. What are your thoughts there? Ole Miss at Kentucky. Ole Miss 10.5-point favorite there.
Yeah, I see them as a 10-point favorite. Where are you getting that?
On ESPN. 10.5. East Tennessee's at Tennessee, no line. Kansas. Ooh. Kansas going to Missouri. That's a sneaky good game.
I'll tell you, that's a good game.
Yeah, 6.5, Missouri.
I got to find, what's the line on, you find?
6.5. South Florida to Florida. Woo, that's a big line. 17.5.
I got to go find, I got to find my thing. I can't find it.
Arkansas State taking on Arkansas. Why are you doing that? And War Memorial right there in Little Rock. I know exactly where that stadium is. Small stadium. Arkansas 23.5-point favorite. The Gamecocks are fired up. They're playing on South Carolina State. No line on that. LSU, they're 37.5-point favorite over Louisiana Tech. Here's a good game, sneaky good game. Mississippi State at home against Arizona State. That's a good one, isn't it? Arizona State's favored by 6.5.
Sneaky good games, Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech. One point.
Yeah, Oklahoma's at home against Michigan. Game day may be there. Ooh, Gary's got me a check. Ball State and Auburn. Auburn 42.5. Vandy, Diego Pavia. Virginia Tech, 1.5-point favorite. there. And Alabama is a 36 and a half point favorite. I wouldn't bet Alabama right now for nothing. Any thoughts on a blue plate there? Yeah, you still studying?
I'm still studying.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what Navy did in its first game.
Navy, I'll let you know that. All right, that's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.